This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Good afternoon, James Acaster here. I'm not here. I'm actually in Melbourne. This is recorded in the past. I am on the other side of the world. This is a pre-record of a show that I did with two guests, Mamik Larwood and Gina Yashere, coming in for the last part of the show. Enjoy it with all your heart.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to FUBAR Radio. My name is James Acaster. Today, me, Mamik Larwood and Gina Yashere are going to be putting our iPods on shuffle. Jim Sullivan on FUBAR with Whistle Stop. Nice song. Nice song.
It's a lovely start. Yeah. Should I say my name, first of all, because people think, who is this person?
Can you say your name, age and where you're from?
My name is Mamik Larwood. I'm now 38 years old. And I'm, well, where am I from? I think I grew up on the Isle of Wight, so I'd say I was from there.
Why would you not? What made you hesitate?
I think I should give you the full details.
Yes,
so I was
please.
Born in Norwich.
Yeah.
Not a good place to say you were born, really, but a lot of my family from then. I moved to Wales when I was two, so...
Can't remember.
Can't remember the move.
No.
I'm sure it helped out, though.
Yeah.
And at the age of six, I moved to the Isle of Wight, so I would say I'm from the Isle of Wight.
Six till... When did you leave the Isle of Wight?
When I was 18, 19, that's the time I went to university.
Yeah.
This is pretty tedious. This is pretty tedious stuff for there.
Oh, mate, if you've never listened to the show before, this is right up our street.
I want to ease people into it slowly with just gentle background details.
Don't go thinking you're tedious for a second. Everyone's interested in the Isle of Wight. I've been there once.
Was it for... It's either... People say, I've been there with a school trip when they were young. That's what most people say.
Yeah.
Or going to the festival, the festival now.
Yes. Yeah.
Or the other reason people go there is just to die.
I went there for a gig, so the answers, the final two are both true.
The key art I went there, centre, I expect.
I died at Bestival. That's what happened.
Really?
So, yeah, that's what happened to me. So, yeah, two of them. It was not a good day. And then I went home really early. I missed Stevie Wonder.
Oh, no.
Because I just was like, I can't be here anymore.
I don't like festivals.
No, why not?
I don't. Here's my big problem with it. I don't like other people jumping around in front of me. I remember people saying to me, why don't you like gigs? And I went to see, I think it was Polyphonic Spree, do you know them?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
And it's supposed to be really, really fun.
Yes.
There was just this twat in front of me. You know, you get twat. The problem is with shared experiences is that there's a 1 in 3 chance you're going to be in a close proximity to a total dick.
Yes.
And he was just dancing up and jumping. You know, where you're just there's no sense of personal space and just almost hitting me with his elbow constantly. So it was just a whole gig of me trying to not get elbowed in the face by someone who was incredibly happy and almost too happy. Yes. I feel like they're emotion thieves, these people.
I think it's more annoying if someone's acting like inconsiderate like that and they're happy than if they're just aggressive.
Yeah.
Because if they're aggressive, at least like, you know that you're... But if they're happy and they're being really inconsiderate to everyone, you go, both these things contradict each other. You can't be... I don't like it that you're this happy with life, you think everything's great, and you don't realise you're making it worse for everyone else.
And it makes you suddenly start thinking, I'm the bad person for thinking old jumpy pants is a dick.
Yes, it must be me. I mean, the Polyphonic Spree are a very happy band, all about the sun. They sing about the sun a lot.
Yeah, it's sort of just nicking all the Jesus stuff and putting it into music, isn't it?
And going, imagine if we weren't Christians, but we were happy as Christians.
Yeah. I mean, it was all right, but a lot of gigs I've been to, there's been people who are more into it than you, and I think I'd rather just sit at home and listen to it.
Would you rather sit down at a gig?
I'd rather not go.
Not go at all?
Yeah.
Well, how many gigs have you been to, Mark?
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
It took me a while. I think when you get into your 30s, you sort of decide, actually, I don't... So you stop trying to pretend to like things.
Yes.
I think, do you know what? Fuck that shit. I spent ages thinking, there must be something wrong with me for not liking these gigs or not liking going to this do.
Must be a grumpy guts.
Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
But I just think, don't go. It's much better.
Yeah. Well, when I started going to gigs, I loved all the jumping around. I was going to see... metal bands. and stuff. I was 15.
Oh, really?
And, like, I was loving jumping around and crowd surfing and stuff like that. And then I think I very quickly became tired of it. Like, yeah. Within 2 years, I think, I was like, oh, do you know what? I'd rather not. I'd rather just... But then I went to see a band and I was sitting down and it was great.
Who was that?
A band called Why. I went to see them at the Union Chapel.
It's a good venue, though, isn't
good
it?
Good venue. Mm. Just sitting down and watching them do a grand piano set was really nice.
See, I'm quite into classical music and film soundtracks.
Yes.
And I was really annoyed I missed Ennio Morricone at the O2 or whatever he played somewhere. So I'm determined by next things to go and see more orchestras and things like that. And I think sitting down, that would be good. But I was bored, really, because my first band I went to see... When I was I went over from the Isle of Wight to Portsmouth Guildhall when I was about 14 or so, and see the Manic Street Preachers.
Very nice.
And the supporting band was a band called Blaggers ITA. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
No.
They're essentially football hooligans. Right. It was them and Credit to the Nation, which is a weird bill.
Okay.
And the lead singer of Blaggers ITA jumped into the crowd and he was throwing records into the crowd and started getting into a fight with someone in the crowd. And it was when you were 15, 14, 15, this is amazing!
Yeah, yeah.
And the Manics were obviously brilliant.
Yeah.
And I think every gig's going to be like that. No, it's
not. Fights all the time.
Yeah.
What Manics, what was the line? Was it when there were three of them or four of them?
Four of them, yeah, yeah.
Four of them?
Yeah. So that's 23 years ago, 24 years ago? I think it must be. Oh, great. Was it Generation Terrace? That was their album, I think it was. Was that the name of the album?
It's a good time to see them, Manic.
Yeah,
so that's why you don't like gigs anymore. You saw people having fights and during the Manic's heyday.
Yeah.
And now you're going to see the polyphonic sphere of people jumping up and down.
That was about 15 years ago. I haven't been to a gig for ages. I'm just an old man. He sits in his room.
Your iPod, do you think it's very... I think it's current?
No, it's... It's quite nervous singing it, putting your iPod. It's like someone reading your diary because you've got you have to justify all the songs you've put on there. I don't know. Because you've put them on for weird reasons. I'm sure we'll get into it. When are you going to put one on? You're going to put one from your one first?
Yeah, I'll do one from mine first. I always think it's only fair that I take the first bullet.
How many songs have you got on your iPod?
8,130. Not that many, actually.
I've only got like 440 on mine.
Have you?
Because it only fits that. It's about...
It's a little one. It's
about
people who can't
8 years old.
Mamek has a little iPod with a rubber case. The rubber case is quite battered, which means that good money well spent.
Yeah, yeah.
She would have been dropping this a lot, mate.
Yeah, that's been all over the floor. Spent most of its life on the floor.
Jumping up and down at polyphonic spree gigs.
But I think it's just after that.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was time to get myself an iPod and retire from the gigs.
Well, we'll come to Mamek's in a moment. First of all, let's see what mine will throw up this week. First song. Okay. It's the first song from my iPod this week. It's called In the Event That Everything Should Go Terribly Wrong by Every Time I Die. That's what... What do you think about that, Marek?
I think that Every Time I Die is pretty... I wonder how they came to that decision of what... when picking a band. How old are they?
I don't know how... They're probably now in their late 30s, early 40s, I'd guess. So that album's quite...
That sounds like a band name that was made by a teenager.
Yep.
Definitely a teenager's name.
Yes. Very emo. It's melodramatic. But also, I mean, you think it must be... For these things, we always think it's really serious. It could be a little joke. But
yeah, it could be.
That song didn't sound like a joke band, did it?
I mean, it could be someone who's got a heart defect...
Yep.
And they have that thing when they briefly die for 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And they come, this is how I like to imagine it, and they come back to life again.
Yes.
And in that 2 or 3 seconds, they've written some sort of, from the afterlife, a song.
Yeah.
So they're not even writing it. It's like this weird spectral sort of entity.
Did that song sound like it could maybe have come from...
A nasty one, nasty spirit.
Quite a nasty... a nasty spirit.
I like it if they were really
Ghost
good,
of
nice
Christmas
ones.
Future.
Each one was like a Ouija board. That would be a good way to do a band.
Yes.
Go on a Ouija board and get them to write the lyrics. And then make a song about that.
Yeah, that would be good. But it'd just be loads of people's names and yes and no's, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If it was a Ouija board song, it'd be Marion, Penelope, no, yes, no, yes, 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 Susan...
But you could put in different music. That's good, though. I listened to that, though.
Yeah. That album is called Hot Damn. It's a good album. But, I haven't listened to it that much. And I was saying to you while it was playing, that is... I got off light there considering what songs could have come up from that album, because that album is a very screamy album.
Do you normally skip it when it comes back on your iPod?
Yeah, I think I would do at the minute. Like, I would probably listen to it like on its own. I would not listen to it on shuffle. I would listen to it on its own if I was in like some sort of mood that I wanted to, that was appropriate for. But like, yeah, I wouldn't really. It would be rare that would pop up on my shuffle, and I would be in that mood anyway, I think.
If you had died, like their heart literally, and been brought back to life,
yeah,
and you've been resuscitated, you're completely all right. There's no side effects.
Yep.
And then you saw your iPod there, and you think, oh, I might listen to that. That sounds like an appropriate. Would you go to that? Would that be the first song you listen to?
I think definitely after the chat we've had, there's no way I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, if I had that happen, I'd be like, you put Every Time I Die on, please.
Yeah.
Marek will understand.
And then all and everyone else who listens to the show.
Yeah, they will all do it. Well, when people say that they've died like that,
yeah,
do you go? You strike me as the kind of guy who wouldn't. Who wouldn't just let that slide?
Yeah, I think you can only die once, really, can't you?
yes.
All these people doing all this other stuff. I've died for 57 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, you know, I've been in it. It's like people, it's like comics who say, yeah, I'm a comic. And you talk to them and go, oh, how many gigs have you done? Oh, I just did a bit of best man speech.
Yeah.
I told a joke to the dentist.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a professional football player. How many games have you played? I was on the substitutes bench for. that's the people who say they've died.
They're really on the subs bench for death.
Yeah. The people who have been, in comas, they don't even say. Are you more impressed by a year coma than a 57-second death?
Yes. Yeah. That feels more like dying, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're gone for quite a while. Although, do you think it seems as long?
I don't know.
What do you think it seems like, Marek?
I worry about
for these people who die for 57 seconds and then the people who are in comas for a year. Well, do you think it goes the same amount of time?
57 seconds is it probably goes quite quick. And you say, it's like a really cool thing to say.
Yes.
Coma is like, oh my God, you've probably got huge muscle wastage, and bed sores and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You've had someone, you know, wiping your ass and things like that. And what worries me about comas is that in the films, I'm not saying they're accurate, but you get people reading to you in the comas.
Sure.
They're not going to pick the books that you want to read. They're going to be reading really dull. You can't tell people to shut up.
No, you can't tell anyone to shut up while you're in a coma.
Yeah.
That sounds like a similar name to Every Time I Die. You can't tell anyone to shut up when you're in a coma.
That should be a song. But imagine if you were trying to write a book and think, do you know what? I'm in a coma. I can't do anything. So I try and write a book in my head.
Yes.
Just to get... So when I come out of it, I've got two or three novels ready to go. And and then you're trying to write this and some twat's reading, you know, stories from Take a Break to you. It would really ruin it for me.
We'd ruin the coma.
Yeah, let's just hope no one gets in a coma this year.
So no one ever again.
Yeah.
We've the subject of comas or things that you might not want to listen to. We're about to play your iPod.
Go for it.
Feeling pretty good?
There's a lot of film tracks on there and weird. I was playing my iPod at a party and someone said... Yeah. Someone's looking through it and going, "Who is this person gay?" So my iPod's really gay.
Is it?
Yeah, it's got some good gay influence.
Well, let's see how gay it is. Track one.
Oh, this is a brilliant track.
One by Harry Nilsson from Marek Larwood's iPod. Marek, great start.
That is it. I'm really pleased with that start.
Yeah, excellent. And you were saying you like film soundtracks. That's from a film.
I think they used a version of that in Magnolia.
Yes.
And someone else, what's her name? I don't know who it was.
Someone else singing it.
A lady sang it. But that's the original one. I know comics all talk about Edinburgh show, but I went to do Edinburgh one year in 2012 to see if... I don't really do stand-up comedy. I don't do stand-up comedy anymore. But just to see if I would like it. And I had that at the start of the show. Just for myself, because I felt so... lonely and depressed at the start of each show, and I'd stand backstage holding the microphone, often so tired I'd have my head slumped against it, playing that as some sort of solace.
Because people who don't know, you were in a sketch group with two fellow guys, men.
I was in a show called We Are Clang, which was good live, not so good on TV, and then and then I've done bits and bobs, and I did stand-up for a while. But I just didn't really like it.
Didn't like stand-up. What was it you didn't like about stand-up? And don't worry about hurting my feelings, mate.
I just didn't like the... It's similar to what I said before about realising you don't actually like something.
Yes.
I think if you like doing comedy, you think, oh, I need to do writing or doing stand-up and performing stand-up. Yeah. I much prefer performing on film and making short films. I don't like the audience being there.
Yes.
And I don't like the repetitive of it. Because it feels if when you said when you've done something 100 times, and I was in a sketch show, and we used to go on and do the same material for, like, you know, years and years and years.
Yeah.
And I just felt, oh, this is, I've already done this my best. my best, and I'm just doing it again.
Yep.
I'm just doing the dying echoes of a previous great gig. And I just didn't like the travelling, and I get nervous before that. I'd be a pacer.
Yes.
You have people before, get some people sit down, they like to chat. I'd be the one who just paces up and down and drinks lots of Diet Coke and then never really enjoyed it on stage. I was about seven years of gigs and never really felt that comfortable.
Never enjoyed one of them?
I enjoyed some.
Yes.
I enjoyed it when you go to these gigs in London and you go to like an open spot night and you'd be trying new stuff and there'd be lots of comics you liked and there's like a few in Islington I really liked and there was no money so you didn't have to worry about performing for anyone or there'd be someone at the back sort of counting how many jokes you made. It was just doing it for fun.
Yeah.
And then I felt a lot freer without that pressure. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm mentally ill. Maybe I'm not mentally ill. I think all comics are mentally ill, and I thought I can't do it.
It could be the thing, you haven't got that. What's wrong with you? Yeah. That's what it is. Because that's what, when everyone says to comics how brave they are, it's really that they're just a certain type of person, so it doesn't come down to being brave. Because we just want to do it so much that it doesn't. Like, if you were just wanted to run into a fire, then it wouldn't be brave if you ran into a fire.
Yeah.
There's nothing brave about it. You just wanted to do it so much that you did it, and then you came out and you were all right. But, like, yeah, it's not. But the worrying thing is that you wanted to run into the fire in the first place, right?
Yeah.
That's what people shouldn't be saying. You're brave. And why are you running into that fire?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think it's really hard for. I think I do. Going back to the point I made earlier, you've got to try and find a way. I think a lot of people are creative, and a lot of people are unhappy if they're not creative.
Yeah.
But if you think I like comedy, you think, well, I've got to do stand up. I've got to be an actor or something like that. It might be another way of doing it. Like, and now you can do podcasts, you can do online videos. There's so much more you can do now without having to do that.
Yeah.
The dread of stand up gigs.
If you could invent a new style of comedy, a new way that people who like comedy can perform or not perform, Marek, that would suit you. It'd be the kind of thing. If your ideal career and way of doing comedy and being funny.
You're asking me to create a new medium.
Yep.
Of communication.
Absolutely, I am. A whole new thing.
Can I have a bit of top? No. How about if you play a bit of a song?
No, I've just got a phone right to you.
A brass rubbings.
There you go. funny ones. But as you rub them. Gets funny.
You rub it and you've got your bit of paper and you go to this thing and you say, you need, because normally you could see what you're rubbing, can't you?
Yep.
So you'd have to be like, it'd be like orienteering. You know, in orienteering, you just go and get a piece of paper and then you go and have to clip it with a spiky thing to show you've been to hit these certain points.
Yes.
So you get your piece of paper with a brass rubbing.
Yeah.
And you go and, so you combine it with walking, you go off to be right, you need to rub this section of the tree here in your bit of paper.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, and then you go over to that tree, so the joke will build up gradually rather than just one instant joke.
Yeah.
That's quite good. Walking, tree.
At the end, the brass rubbing would be funny.
It hopefully be funny. It would change. So it'd be a picture. And you'd use, it'd be in a forest, you go to the funny forest, and you go in, and you go there with your bit of paper and your crayons, your different coloured one, and on the tree itself, maybe in the bark, there would be a rubbing you need to rub, and it would, as you walk through the forest.
So what would the first one be?
I don't know.
First tree, you go to the first tree, you do a rubbing.
Be a bloke.
What do you see in your head now?
A lot of the time, I just see people shitting.
Yeah. First one's someone shitting?
Yeah, but you think he is, and then you go back to the next one, he realised it's just a hat or something like that.
He's sitting on a hat.
Yeah, or something. There's a really good there's a really good illustrator called Joan Cornella or something like that, some Spanish guy who does these pictures.
Yeah.
And someone put them on Twitter, and and the pictures of what you're seeing changes each time. So you think it's someone holding a dog costume or something, and it's not actually, it's a dog's head. I can't explain it, but that I think that's a good medium, but through brass rubbing. So I've just stolen that off him, really.
So, but yeah, you brass rubbing, and it builds up, and you get to, it's interactive. And funny.
It involves exercise. It helps the environment because it's got trees.
Yeah.
It helps you do colouring. Helps the colouring industry, because I'm sure the colouring pen industry is suffering now with the internet and things like that.
Absolutely, it is.
And it helps the park keeper.
And also, you wouldn't even have to be there.
No.
You can stay at home while everyone's doing the brass rubbings.
I wouldn't need. I quite like the countryside, so I wouldn't mind doing it. I could go scouting through walks. It's not a new form of orienteering, basically, is, but with funny pictures.
And what would you call it?
Fun walks.
Fun walks. Not brass ribbons.
Brass ribbons is really good.
Or ha 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 rubbings.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Or really fun walks. See, this is why I stopped doing stand-up. My instinctive...
The funny woods. Did you call it the funny woods?
No, I said funny walk. Oh, yeah, funny woods, yeah. Oh, no.
Funny walks in the funny woods.
My first go-to thing isn't good enough. My instinct's gone. I used to be razor sharp, and now I'm just a blunt razor covered in bloody scabs in the bottom of a sink.
At that point, I wanted to start playing "When It's the Loneliest Number" again. Yeah. So, as soon as you said that.
Just put it on repeat.
Right.
I'm going to think of some more names for the woodland walk.
Yeah. Okay, Marek, you write some more names for the funny walks while I put another song on my iPod.
FUBAR Radio.
That was Prince Horn Dance School singing all the from their album Clay Class.
All right.
Nice name for an album.
Yeah, it does sound quite nice.
We were talking earlier about you doing brass rubbings as a comedy thing, Marek Larwood.
Yeah.
And Clay, you think Clay's funny?
You just say Clay Class is just sort of the same as pottery, isn't it? Clay Class is, I imagine, it's for children.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't say pottery. You've got a speech impediment or something. And the kids trying to say, "Mum, can I go to boop 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 boop?" Just say Clay Class.
Clay Class is almost harder.
Clay Class, yeah.
Clay Class. Pottery.
Clay Class is much better than pottery, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds better.
Yeah. I didn't think of any good names for my tree walk.
No, you downgraded it to tree walk now. It was funny walk earlier.
Yeah, it's definitely
now
not.
It's just tree walk.
Oh, the only thing I wrote down is oak, come on.
Oak, come on.
Yeah, oak, come on.
Yep, yep.
Come on. It doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense.
Other trees you could do.
Yeah, but there's a new...
For goodness sakes.
Yeah, elm, but most of the elms are dying now, aren't they?
So this is sad, but that's not funny, is it?
Yeah, you don't want them there in the first place because they've got... Isn't there a new disease that another tree's got? A major tree's got, which is going to... That's in Europe, which could affect Britain.
Really?
Yeah, my dad told me about it and I was half listening.
Right,
I wish
okay.
I would listen properly because I would have really been educational in this bit here.
Is that everything you gathered from him, though? There's a new tree, he's got a new disease, it might affect Britain.
Yes, he was talking about it.
The trees in Britain are all of us.
He was talking about it while he was taking the dog for the walk on the Isle of Wight, but it was dark and he only had his torch on his head thing that he's got, he's quite pleased with.
Yes.
But it meant that his
dad
path was...
Dad wears the torch on his head?
Yeah, it's like a torch to him because he's got this dog. Someone got it for him. He's like one of those elastic, like a miner's type of thing.
Yeah.
So if the dog runs off, he doesn't drop the torch. He's quite pleased with it. But the problem was, while he was talking, I was trying to avoid the puddles and the mud and not able to concentrate in the conversation.
Did you have a torch in your head?
No, I didn't have one, no.
He doesn't provide one for you?
You didn't even think of that.
What happens if the dog runs away and he runs after the dog?
Well, that's what happened.
And then you stepped in a puddle?
I stepped in quite a few puddles. And I got my iPhone out and I thought, thank heavens, there's a torch on this.
Oh, yes, of course. So you strapped the iPhone to your head?
I licked the back of it, stuck it to my head.
And ran after
the
dad.
And then we were fine, yeah. And everyone was fine. But the downside of it is I missed that tree story.
Yeah. Was he halfway through it when the dog ran off? It's going to affect Britain and come back here!
Yeah, that was it. Done. I wonder how many dogs have ruined stories.
A lot. Oh, someone's in a coma and someone's reading them a story.
I bet. And the dog comes in.
Dog comes in.
Just so they get to the good bit and they can't go, oh, they can't go, come on, go back to that bit. I'm just that bloody dog was barking.
What happened? What happened at the end of Life of Pi? Dog.
I've given up on that book. That's a really good book books lately.
You've what?
Have you read any good books lately?
Have I read any good books lately? Not lately. I think the last one I read was a Dave Eggers book. I like Dave Eggers a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, I do like him. I love him.
What do you do that he does this? What does he do?
I don't... What,
he has a really shit title to his books.
Have you read anything by him?
Isn't he just an extraordinary... Or something?
Yeah, so that one I don't like. So, A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius.
Wasn't that... He was abused or something, wasn't it? Is that about abuse?
No, he wasn't abused. No. He was... right, we should... let's outline right now. Dave Eggers was not abused. That is his memoirs, though, but it's his parents both died.
Okay.
And then he had to, like, raise his brother, basically, with his sister by himself.
Okay.
But, like, that's a really classic, like... first novel, really knowing, really meta all the way through.
Yeah.
You know, characters start saying to him, but I didn't say this in real life and you're just saying this because this is for your novel and you want this to sound good. And then you go, I don't want to read this. But that wasn't the first book I read by him, so it's okay. So I really love everything he's done since. I think it's really great. Less pretentious.
You make one mistake in public and it scars you.
That's it.
Everything you do is painted by that.
Yeah, everyone goes, that's that guy who has a torch on his head.
Yeah, torch head. And then he wore it one day. He only wore a torch one day, but in that day, he happened to be in the background when the president got shot.
What, lighting it up with his torch head?
It was his for that reason. I mean, there must be... I'd like to know what the unluckiest people... And I don't want to be one of those people. The unluckiest people in the world. Like, you know, if you just shit yourself on one moment where it's captured on camera in front of, you know...
Yeah. Well, nowadays with YouTube and stuff, there's even more unlucky people because, like, you know, it all goes on online now. So there's that. I saw a lady shitting herself in a jacuzzi.
Really?
Someone showing me that in a hot tub.
God.
I mean,
and you're going to be known.
But that's
as,
online forever.
Yeah, you're going to be known as that jacuzzi.
Jacuzzi. Well, there you go. That's
a
funny
thing.
I'm
trying to get a good pun to come back.
Jacuzzi's quite good.
I don't think it's that good.
It is quite good for what happens. I mean, if someone poos in a jacuzzi.
That's a quite a good thing to call. What would you call it? Let's have another think. We could play another song while we think of someone pooing in a jacuzzi.
You keep pleading with me to play songs all the time.
Often do you play them? I worry because I get bored of myself and I think, oh God, I don't want to listen to him.
Man.
I don't want to listen to him for more than 2 minutes without get a little break.
Merrick, you've talked about people with torches on their heads, dogs running away, comas, trees that are going to affect Britain, brass rubbins. What part of that do you think is boring?
It's like a day on the internet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like the mysterious internet of my mind.
If you ever do stand-up again, that's the name of your next show. There you go, the internet of my mind.
People, what do you talk about in your stand-up?
what do I talk about?
Yeah. Do you talk about the minutia or do you talk about the... bigger thing, the minutiae.
Talk about the small things, yeah. Talk about the small things, but as if they're big things.
Oh, okay.
That's the way I like to. I don't like kind of going, oh, these are just little things. They're just silly. I like going, like, this is really important.
Yeah.
Even though it's not. Just like, you've got to be an idiot, ain't you?
Yeah.
It's more fun, I think. I don't like watching someone who thinks they know it all. That's why I like having you on the show, Mark. You admit that you don't know anything about those trees.
I don't trust people who think they know it all. Can you possibly, you know, when you were younger and you thought and you looked up and you saw like kids or 21-year-olds, when I'm 21, I am gonna know every single thing.
Yeah, every single thing.
And the other day I was getting to the same, my parents moved to the other way when they were like 36, 37.
Yeah.
And they had three kids then. And I was just got to the same age as them. I thought, shit, man, they had three kids, their jobs, you know, their, and I remember thinking they knew what they were doing.
Yes.
I'm older than them now.
Yeah.
I got no idea.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder, I'm the same age my dad would have been when all three of us were born. we weren't triplets, but like, you know, we all, me and my brother and sister were all born by that point. I wouldn't be able to have, I don't think I could handle one kid now. But also my dad, I always thought when I was younger that my dad was, my dad used to have secret ice cream for himself.
Oh, secret, in his, in the freezer?
In the freezer, to be ice cream, just for, he wouldn't tell any of us he'd bought it. It'd be snuck at the back of the freezer somewhere, be his secret ice cream. I always used to think, what are you doing? When I found out about it, I was like, what kind of a guy, he's got kids, has secret ice cream from his kids. But now,
what else are you hiding?
Yeah, yeah, what else is going on here? But now I'm an adult, and I basically haven't had kids so that I don't have to share ice cream with them. I mean, that's probably one of the main reasons I don't have children.
I worry that I haven't got children and don't want to have children because I don't know. I just think, I think a lot of people do it for the wrong reasons. I think the world's overpopulated anyway.
Sure.
Well, the main reason, financially, I can't never afford them. They cost about $500,000.
Too much.
I want my own nice house.
You can have them for free.
And then once you've been, all your friends start having them.
Yeah.
You see a part of their brain goes, never comes back.
Yes. That is true. But then they will tell you that it is the best feeling ever. I personally don't want children, but I do believe them when they say it is the best feeling in the world. It probably is. But then why is all stand-up I see about, you know, I mainly hear about it when you're watching stand-up comedy. And, you know.
Pretty boring.
They seem to hate it.
They have to do that.
And marriage.
Yeah. I think it's the best thing in the world because I think it's something to do psychologically with you existing as a person and you're existing in another form.
Forever.
Yeah. It's basically, it's continuing your continuance of yourself in some form. So it's quite scary to go, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just die out. I'm going to let this flame burn out.
We move on to Mamek's iPod now. We're going to see. Well, like, I'm always going to go on to yours for whatever
really
depressing.
Happy, yeah.
I'm going to wait till you say the most depressing thing you can and then go on to your iPod each time. Mamek's iPod, track 2. Let's see what it is.
Just me staying for distance.
It's, I mean, that ending. That could drive you insane.
Yeah, because it is a long, long ending. Too long ending.
It's a long, long ending, and it goes on and on. And it does. Like, if you were just in a room, trapped in a room, and they were just playing that ending on a loop, how long do you think you would last before?
That's a good.
Completely smashing on the door and saying, "Please let me out. I'll do anything you want."
17 minutes.
17 minutes.
I thought of this before. How quickly could it? How quickly can you make someone go mad?
Yes.
Just with music or sound. Because all that torture thing isn't them playing, like, not letting someone sleep by playing beeps.
Yeah.
They do that. And also there's a, I was reading on the internet about this place in America called the, I don't know where I found it, the scariest house, like this haunted house experience. People pay to go on.
Yes.
And no one's lasted the whole night.
Really?
So you must go around, it's almost like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre person's house.
Yes.
And you go there, and it had all these pictures of people just terrified and covered in blood, screaming, you know, the fake blood. You get put in some weird, like, torture, murderous house, and you've got to plead to get out of it. And people paying to go to this thing. It's crazy.
Wow. So you pay to feel like you're in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre or something like that.
It's supposed to be the scare. I can't even remember what it's called. Someone sent me it. It's one of the, I'm terrible with these stories. You should at least try and remember one cold, hard fact from a story.
Well, what dog interrupted you this time when you were being told about
dogs
something?
And torches. But I should do that, start a scary house in London.
Yeah. Do a scary house. Not a funny house.
Get people to pay to come to the scary house. There's also another thing. I've gone off on a big.
I love how everything's just called like the funny words, the scary house.
You want to know what you're getting.
Yeah, you do want to know what you're getting. That is true.
That is basic brand.
Scary house.
Yeah, basic branding.
Yeah.
There's that thing in Reading that I want to do, which is the zombie mall thing. Have you seen Dawn of the Dead? Have you seen the.
Yeah.
So that apparently there's a disused sort of old mall in Reading and it costs about £120.
Yeah.
And you go there with your friends and you've got to get to the top of the building and they've got all these actors playing zombies and you've got these fake guns.
You shoot them.
Yeah.
That is good. Amazing. I'd love to do that. Yeah. I'd love to do that. Yeah. It'd be great. If they catch you, do you become a zombie or are you just out?
I should think so. This is tradition, isn't it?
Yeah, you should have to become a zombie and have to join
you
them.
You get bitten and your guts pulled out.
Yeah, they do actually kill you.
Yeah.
You've invented a lot of things. You've invented Scary House. You've invented
fun woods. Woods.
And you were telling me earlier, you've invented a sport.
Well, this is my... I'm a big American football fan.
Yes. Super Bowl? Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yes, I did watch the Super Bowl.
Enjoy it?
It was a great Super Bowl.
I heard it was a good one. A lot of people I know stayed up really late.
It's one of the best Super Bowls. This is I'm wearing the Detroit Lions top now. Who's my American football team? I went on a pilgrimage to America to see them.
Who were they playing?
In America, they were playing the Green Bay Packers. But I went to Buffalo.
That is Tom Wigglesworth's team.
Yeah. But he's not a real fan, is he? Because I spoke to him about it, because he looks like Aaron Rodgers. Thinking, oh, you know, and he's got to do all this stuff, and he thinks he doesn't really like American football. Really pisses me off. Like someone jumping into something and going, yeah, you quite like him. Like, do you know what? You fucking like it. You're getting all these opportunities.
He is. He's done adverts.
Yeah, he's made got loads of... Yeah, anyway, so I went to...
Green Bay Packers.
I went to the Wembley game in London. I took my nephew there and we got on this queue.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just get, when you go to events, you just go in queues and you mean, like, this must be good.
Yeah.
It's a queue of people doing it. And there's all these queues to go to the shops and buy these key rings.
Right.
Which were like £5 for a bit of plastic. And you feel like you've got to buy one because you've queued for half an hour and there's all these people behind you. So I thought, I'm going to bloody invent a new sport.
Yeah.
Enough of this comedy lark, a new sport. So I was in the pub with my friends. You know David Nichols and Lee Bannard, you know those two?
No, I don't know those two.
They're old comics, used to be on the circuit. And they've fallen by the wayside. And I thought, this three-player sport, it's called Vulfsball, VOLFSBALL, because we were in the pub trying to find websites ended in the word ball.
Yes.
And of course, they've all been taken.
All of them.
Because there's all these different ones. We thought of like prison ball, but it sounded like prison ball. Every word we tried to put ball on the end had gone.
Okay.
So my friend David said, just make it a German weird name no one's got. And I got the website for £20. Started the sport up.
You've already got the website.
I've set up the website. I've done the. My dad made the prototype. And on Christmas Eve, we tested it on the Isle of Wight and it works.
So what is it?
It's a three-a-side sport. There's a prism in the middle, this triangle prism, which is 6 foot, looks like something out of 2001 type thing, with a hoop at the top of it, and the prism spins when you hit it.
Okay.
And then there's a sort of mini circle, which is about 4 metres wide, which you're not allowed in. And then there's the defenders in another circle outside of that, which is 3 metres wide. And then there's the attackers, the other circle outside of that. And you basically throw the ball.
So this is like a dartboard with a big prism in the middle of it. Well, if you looked on it from a bird's eye view.
Yeah, well, not a hoop.
It looked like a target.
Yeah, and you can throw it or kick the ball at the prism.
Yeah.
And you get points for doing that, and you get more points if you get it through the hoop.
Through the hoop. And the prism moves.
The prism spins, so the hoop, you can only get it through the hoop from two sides.
Yes, of course.
And once you have the ball, you can't run with the ball. You can throw it to each other.
Ah.
You can kick it as well. So it's got football, it's a bit like netball, football. There's no contact. And my dad, I was playing with my friend, and we had to get our dads to play because we didn't know enough people in the Isle of Wight anymore. And my dad's 68, and his dad's like 67.
Yeah.
And they, to be honest, were the best two players on the pitch.
Really?
There is no age boundaries.
Strategic? It's mainly...
Yeah, well, it's only been one game. My dad's making the prototype now.
Yes.
I've already got made merchandise for it. I'm trying to sell merchandise on Vulfsball.com. I don't know if you can advertise this or not, to try and pay for this sport. And I'm giving out franchises. People can set their own franchises.
Yeah. Are the defenders allowed to move wherever they like?
Yeah, they can move wherever they like. They can run wherever they like. But they're not allowed out of their zone.
And so it can be in the zone.
Yeah. If you want to see what happens, go to Vulfsball.com. And I've made a video.
Yeah.
I mean, this is me, my very basic videoing skills, and us playing on Christmas Eve. I've made an instructional video, which you'll be, is quite boring, of the sport.
Yeah.
But if this goes right...
How did you feel when you were playing Vulfsball? Did you feel
I was
alive?
Worried. For a start, because I thought, I invented this new sport, and my dad spent a lot of time in his shed building this. Because my dad's a bit of an inventor anyway.
Yeah, okay.
And and I thought it's just going to be rubbish. It won't work. And I played it with my brothers and my friend who lived from Bembridge on the Isle of Wight. And it actually worked. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, fun.
We enjoyed it, and we felt this is a bit. It's only like 4 3-minute quarters, so you don't even have to be that sporty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyone can play. Course. And the main rules I put down were, number one rule, no dickheads.
Yeah.
Number two rule, you're allowed to take drugs. There's no drug... You're allowed to use performance-enhancing or de-enhancing drugs. This is the first sport, no drug policy.
Great. And they're the only rules?
Yeah, there's loads
no
of rules.
No dickheads and you're allowed to do drugs.
That's the main two rules.
Main two rules is that.
But it's quite complicated. Just look it up. But I think this is my way forward to do sport now.
I think so. Well, when you said you'd invented a new sport, I thought you were going to say you've come up with it in theory.
No,
and
I've actually...
I don't think you had a website, merchandise, and you'd prototype. You'd done a test of it.
I've done two tests of it. I've done, and then the third prototype is coming to London, and I'm going to start playing the league, set up a league in London, and hopefully do a World Championships in September.
Very exciting.
For a new sport, no dickheads. Because a lot of sportsmen, I look at them and go, you're dicks.
Yeah.
No dickheads. A lot of the kids at school were dickheads. I thought, I don't want to hang around with you anymore.
Yeah.
I used to play basketball quite a lot.
Right.
Purely because a lot of the aggressive kids played football and rugby.
Yes.
So we'll go and all our mates go and play basketball instead. We'll go and do that.
What's your least favourite sport in the world?
I don't like rugby.
That's where the dickheads are. Yeah. I used to play rugby.
Did you?
I did, but not very well. But I played it until I was 13. And basically, our team would always win. And when I turned 13, all the other teams in the whole country suddenly had a growth spurt. And my lot didn't. We were really small. And then it turned out we had a lot more criers on the team than we thought we did. We would just be all crying throughout the whole game while we're getting beat.
It's really horrible, horrible aggressive sport.
And on to another song. This is from my iPod. Here we go. Let's see what the song is. Oh. Neil Young, Keep On Rocking In The Free World. The live version there. That's it's from Freedom. I'm saying the albums today. I don't normally say the albums, but they're all from albums that I quite like. So I keep on.
Harvest is one of the best ever albums, isn't it?
Harvest is really good. My dad loves Neil Young, which is how I got into Neil Young. And he does not like Harvest. And
why
I
not?
Don't understand. Well, he's just got. We have similar tastes, me and my dad. But then it's always like the individual songs. So we like the same albums, me and my dad, and then the songs, like, he thinks the song Harvest is a filler song. It's nothing. And I think the song Harvest is brilliant. I really love that song. It's a really beautiful song. But
Old Man's my favourite song on that album.
Yeah. That might be his best song.
Or The Needle, and what's it called? Needle in the...
Dan and the Damage Done.
Yeah, that's great.
Very good. Yeah, well, that's really good. that's a really good.
Get your Harvest albums out, and then...
Get Harvest, Harvest Moon... Favourite Neil Young album is Harvest for you?
Yes.
Yeah, good album. I think my favourite is After the Gold Rush still. That was the first album I heard by him. I think it is still my favourite one.
Have you seen him live?
No.
So I was lucky enough, I did Glastonbury, which I hate going to festivals.
Yep.
And that really sort of was a nail in the coffin for me. But the only good thing about that was that he played Glastonbury that year. And he was brilliant.
Oh, great. He did a really long set.
He smashed up his guitar, at the end. Oh, it was great.
What was... You said it was nail in the coffin, Glastonbury. Was there anything that pushed you over the edge?
The mud.
Yeah.
People pissing.
with Glastonbury, I don't understand the mud. I don't understand why people love it so much. When you see photos of people in Glastonbury and they've jumped in a big mud puddle and they're caked in mud and they're smiling, I think, what are you smiling at?
They're on drugs. They're on hard... heavy drugs.
Yeah, aren't
they? And they've just crossed a line in their brains and they're never going to come back from.
Just in all the mud. Imagine getting mud in your mouth. That'd be, you'd go home, wouldn't you?
And that's it, you can't even go home to what... I look at the people smiling and think it's really, really great. It's like, it's the same as London, really, but in the country. There's that many... But what's my hobby...
Yeah.
Which I go do with my friend Dave is going on London. We go on. There's a book called Time Out Country Walks.
Yes.
And we're based in London.
Yeah.
And it's all these about 50 or 60 walks where you get the train in the morning about 7 or 8 o'clock. You're going the opposite way to everyone else. You sort of you go out, you walk through the country all morning, have a nice pub lunch.
Lovely.
Walk in the afternoon and get the train back. It's a bully. You don't see anyone.
That is nice.
I don't want to see a load of people smiling around, dancing, listening to hearing sort of music in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate festivals. I hate everyone involved in it.
I get really moody. I got really moody at Latitude one year and I had to do a gig and just complained about the festival for the whole gig. while I was on, just said what I didn't like about the festival. I tried to see Scroobius Pip at Latitude, and then I just had loads of people. He was doing a spoken word set, without, so there's no music, but he was doing like songs from his album, but as spoken word. And everyone around me was just singing along with the spoken word, which defeats the whole point of it.
Yeah, dickhead.
No point shouting. If someone's just doing spoken word, if you shout along with it, everything, all the impact's lost. There's no, I walked out in a right huff.
Not surprised.
In a proper huff.
So those moments when you think, hang on a minute, everyone around me is a dick, but I can't be sure I'm right because everyone's behaving in the same way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
There must be a word for like, that, isn't there?
You feel like you must be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, there must be a word for being pretty sure you're the only person who's not a dick, but then suspecting that must mean you are a dick.
It's like I Am Legend, that there's a brilliant novel which they made into the film with Will Smith.
Yes.
Where the book is an amazing sci-fi book.
Right, okay.
And it's just where the world gets taken over by vampires.
Yes.
And then he becomes the person who's no longer the... There's no such thing as humans anymore, so he's the outside, yeah. He's the, almost the monster.
Yes. Is the Bob Marley song, Three Little Birds, made such a big deal of in the book?
No, I can't remember it. Too. No.
Probably not
in
there at all.
It's in the film quite
a
lot, isn't it?
Oh, it's in the film so much that...
I think the book was written before that song came out.
Right. So they really shouldn't have... See, that's the thing. I went to see the film and I thought, all right, that's fine. I wasn't that bothered by it. Yeah. And then people say how amazing the book is.
The book's brilliant. And there's also one with a... It's Christopher Lee. There's three big horror guys. Peter Cushing and the other one, who's in The Mask of the Red Death and stuff like that.
Okay. Jim Carrey.
Not Jim Carrey, but he's in a 1950s version of I Am Legend, which is completely different.
Right.
Which is a really black and white one. And they've also done in... they've coloured it in Technicolour, which ruins it.
Do you think if the world was slowly taken over by vampires,
yeah,
how long do you think you would last from the moment it starts, the first vampire,
to me?
To Will Smith is the only one left. How long do you think...
Because I've read quite a lot of apocalypse books.
Yes.
Or there are a lot of books about the apocalypse. Never read, here's my one tip, don't read two End of the World books back to back because you get really depressed.
Right, okay.
I've got a strategy for getting... First of all, you get to the country.
Yes.
It's like Day of the Triffids. So the first strategy is to get out.
Yeah.
Get to a country. Then you've got to re-establish
whereabouts in the countryside would you like to be?
I'd have to go to the Isle of Wight. The best thing. That's what they do in Day of the Triffids because you've got borders you can defend then.
Yes.
And that's what you need. The whole of England is too big a space. You need to get that bit where you can't get anyone else. Where in the Day of the Triffids, they could see when they cleared the Isle of Wight of Triffids. Yep. Sorry, it's spoilers for Day of the Triffids book readers.
Yeah.
It's been out for 50 years or so. And they could see when all the seeds washed up, so it was safe.
Yes.
But you have to get out of London. You have to get a bike, I think.
Bicycle.
The roads are going to be packed.
Yeah.
It's a motorbike.
Motorbike.
I'm not really comfortable driving a motorbike, so I just get a bike. Yeah, or a scooter.
Yeah.
Get your backpack full of stuff.
Yeah.
You've got to think what you pack. I mean, you haven't got any, just quite a lot of knives and first aid kits and tinned goods, probably.
A lot of chocolate, like in 28 Days Later, they eat loads of chocolate, don't they?
Yeah, everything's got different values, isn't it? And then you've got to establish a new society.
Yes.
And then a lot of the time, the thugs take over.
Yeah.
And the real hooligans and stuff become the new society, which is even worse than the they could be worse than the bloody vampires.
Whenever I'm at a train station and a train is like delayed and the platform's not coming up on the board, and then it comes up as soon as that platform comes up on the board and everyone just piles towards the train, I just think it would be bad. An apocalypse, people would be awful. You watch the films when they're all like, you know, when the one person who finds a car that works starts driving out, and then everyone like mobs the car like it's the Beatles, but they want to kill them because they will rip this family apart in order to get the car. And I think that wouldn't really happen. Surely people would be. And then when people just want to get to Scunthorpe on the train, and they're that prepared to just elbow each other out of the way to get on a train that everyone's going to get on anyway. It's already, you've got your ticket, you're going to get on that train. I just think if it was the end of the world,
but it, goes
it would
back
be
to,
real bad.
It goes back to what we were saying. How long does it take someone to go? Does it take someone to go mad?
Yes.
I mean, if you were in a situation on a train and there was like a terrorist or something, awful like that, or someone doing something, how would you react? And you don't really know how would you react because you've never been in that situation where you're you don't know what level your real level of what you do. So you could be, I could be a monster. I could be a really altruistic person.
I bet you've imagined it though. I bet you've put yourself in that position and imagined what you would do if someone got up on a train.
You have to go and try and attack them straight away, but then you just go, what if it's just a mental person? You know, you've only got, it's a matter of seconds to make a decision. That's the problem, isn't it?
I think I've imagined more being the person that gets taken hostage. Like if someone had a gun in a bank or whatever, that I always assume I would be the person they grabbed and put the gun to my head. But I think that's me imagining everyone who knows me seeing it on the news and really caring about me. I think that's what's really, that's my...
It's the romantic side of it, but in reality...
It's a bit bad.
Yeah, everyone, you sort of, there's that thing, I think when you're younger, you think, oh, imagine if I died and people going to my funeral or something like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you're dead, that's done, you're done. You're done. Doesn't matter. Don't even worry about that shit. There we go.
I think that is clearly a good time to go on to Mavic's iPod yet again. Mavic, let's see what your next song is. You lucky boy.
Oh no!
Unlucky, mate!
No! I can't believe that's it on there.
Yeah.
Oh no.
What a horrendous pile of shit. Oh. That is Razor Light there. Well, unlucky!
That's really bad, isn't it? It's really bad.
I'm going to say that is. That is the worst one anyone's had so far come up on their iPod, I think.
I don't know why I downloaded it in the first place, and I don't know why it's still there.
They're the worst,
just
aren't
what's
they?
Annoying is, the bellend, song is shit. I don't even know... It's almost like the apocalypse, and I imagine the apocalypse happens, and all that's left is this fragment. Imagine if all that's left is a fragment of a podcast, and it's that.
Yeah.
That's like that would be worse than the vampires taking over.
I am very proud that we just talked about the apocalypse for a long time and then played Razor Light America.
That's never going to happen again, ever.
But that feels like a film. That's like a film about the apocalypse, and it's like everyone dies, and then as the credits, as it just pulls back from the ruin, that song starts playing. It's like a, you know, deliberately as a to offset it.
No, make it worse. That would be the apocalypse has happened.
Yeah, imagine this. Imagine if Johnny Burrell's the only person left living.
He would proclaim himself as God, wouldn't he?
He would do pretty quickly. What's he even doing now? Are they even going still, Razor Light? You know, you're a fan.
I don't know. I'm living with Johnny Burrell.
Yeah.
We're trying to reinvent him, doing just spoken word stuff.
Spoken word. Singing along.
Oh...
It's so bad, isn't it?
I mean, a bit depressed
when that
now.
Song came out, it was massive.
I think that is what, because as you can tell, my iPod's about 10 years old. It's just.
Yeah. But that song was so big. Like, I remember hating it. But again, thinking maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I must have liked it at some point.
Everybody. I remember being. I used to work in a music shop back then, teaching drums. And I remember one of the dads coming in to pick his son up and saying to the guy at the counter, "Have you heard that America song by Razor Light?" And he was like, yeah, it's amazing. He's like, "It is amazing." And I was standing there going, "I've heard it. I think it's the worst song I've heard in years. I think it's really insufferable."
Did you say it to them?
No. I was just standing there going, "I must be going insane. There must be something wrong with me." Because everyone else thinks that they were talking about it as if it was a new Beatles song. Like it was like it was Sgt. Pepper's or something. It was like it was a new album. It was just...
I'm really pissed off it's come out of my iPod.
But I'm glad it's come out now and we're going, yep, time has told that it is an awful song. I don't hear anyone playing that now and enjoying it.
No, a lot of my life is based upon regret, and there's another one for the bank.
Massive bit of regret there in the form of Razor Light.
I should have gone through and deleted all the shit ones.
Well, no, this is what everyone always... But like, otherwise, if you did that, people listening at home would be like, well, this is definitely not on shuffle.
Yeah.
They would think that you'd chosen a thing. You know, it's good that one's come up that you hate, or even the same band more than once. We've had that in the past. You know, it's good. Everyone always wishes they'd gone and deleted it. But then this will inspire you to do it afterwards. I think after they've been on this show deletes songs on their iPod.
Yeah. Because that's who you are. It's all that's it forever now. Eric Larwood, Razor Light fan.
Playing your made up sport.
I'm going to be that'll be the music. Razor Light will do the music for it.
Oh yeah. That would be funny, though.
I could probably get him to do it for quite cheap now.
Yeah, yeah. To be fair, if you got Razor Light to do the music for your new sport, I think that would be funny. Like that, I don't think anyone would... Everyone would know that was a joke. Even Razor Light would be like, yeah, he's making fun of us, but we'll do it anyway. But
then you go, hang on a minute. He came in to do this show.
He played Razor Light.
He had them on his iPod.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Marek is a massive doodler. He's been doodling on a notepad for the whole show. No one else has brought a notepad into this show. You've doodled the pitch for your Wolfsball
game. I normally do lots of faces. I've doodled a box, and I've doodled. I've done, and I was trying to think of the names for the forest walk we talked about earlier.
Yes, we've got loads of things on the pad.
I do like doodling. Are you a doodler or not?
Yeah. I used to draw cartoons when I was younger. I did a comic strip in school of me and my friends. So it was like a really sentimental.
And it was called Me and My Friends?
No.
What was it called?
It was called This Is the Most Embarrassing. It's called Us. That's proper like 15-year-old.
And what happened? It sounds quite romantic.
It was just how much I loved my mates. It was so sentimental because I really liked Calvin and Hobbes, right?
I love Calvin and Hobbes.
So
brilliant.
I love Calvin and Hobbes. So I thought I'd do a similar, but obviously, you know, you don't, when you're 15, you don't realise how brilliantly subtle. I was just doing stuff that was like about things we'd done or things we would do.
Give me an example. Like, I think everyone would hear an example.
Like hanging out in my friend's bedroom, all of us listening to music, and then someone making a comment about a film, getting an actor's name wrong, everyone laughs and makes fun of them. End of comic strip. That kind of stuff.
Like, are these around?
Do you know, they'll be somewhere. I bet I could find them somewhere. And they're probably at my parents' house in a box somewhere. And it would be very embarrassing to...
For your memoirs, you...
It's so embarrassing just saying what it was called. I haven't thought about that in years.
Us.
Gosh.
It's good branding. It's like I said, the tree walk, the funny tree walk. It's that going back to the basic branding.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
What's nice is I've had to go for that Razor Light experience, and now you've had to talk about us. It's been an awkward...
Yeah.
We both felt... slightly ashamed of ourselves in this section.
I've just thrown myself into the pit with you. I didn't even need to be there. I could have been really lofty and just been like, look at Merrick in the Razor Light. And then when I used to do a comic strip about me and my friends called Us.
It's not very nice in the pit, is it?
No, it's horrible in the pit. You feel awful and dirty. Right, I'm going to move on to my iPod and see if I can make myself feel any worse. Here we go. Yep, this is worse.
I'm not going for
what? What an embarrassing song.
Just was that a really, song? That was a song?
Yeah, apparently that was a song. That's cool. Me and Mark were talking about embarrassing names for... Like, I did a comic strip when I was younger, but me and my friends have called it Us, which is the most embarrassing thing. And that song was called And Caligula Blushed, which I think is quite an embarrassing name.
Oh, my gosh.
Who is that band again?
It's called Jarius or something. It's like... It was. I went to see a band that actually don't sound too dissimilar to them, who I still like, called Sixth, and then they supported them, and I bought that years ago, about 10 years ago, and don't really listen to it, and that was pretty embarrassing.
We had a bit of a run of bad luck, haven't we?
Yeah, we were looking quite good, and then anyway, Gina Yashere's here now, so we're now going to look fine, aren't we? Your iPod's got nothing embarrassing on it.
The music's going to get a lot cooler, I think, from that.
Yeah.
No screaming. I didn't understand a word. My ears are bleeding.
It was too much, wasn't
so
it?
So was my anus.
Too much of an intro for you immediately. How are you? You all right?
I'm very good. Well, sort of. I've had 2 hours sleep. I was partying until 6 a.m. and then
really?
I ended up doing radio. Yeah, because that's how I roll.
Where were you partying?
It was a place called We Love Soul in Brixton at the Prince of Wales, and it's a quarterly thing. And I never get to go because I'm never here. And my friends told me yesterday, it's on, we're going. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. And I left there about... Yeah, 6 a.m.
It's a good pub, that.
Yeah, it's good.
I used to live in Stockwell.
All right.
Just around the corner from
it.
Okay,
there you go.
For other nights.
Well,
so.
But you have, for not soul nights. You went for nights.
Yeah, I went for screamy nights. and then the soul, I was like, no, that's not real music. But that's good then.
So, yeah.
Best track of the night? Was there a song that you... weren't particularly crazy for?
There's a song that you should... It's a guy called Sean Escoffrey. It's called Days Like This, and we're all screaming and singing the song. In fact, I might... Who knows? It might turn up.
Yeah, it might even... That'd be nice, wouldn't it? That the might, song that you've mentioned.
Right, fingers crossed.
Is there any embarrassing stuff on there?
I don't find any of my music embarrassing, but I love a bit of ABBA and Queen, so
yeah.
That could be embarrassing in some people's books, but not in mine.
I'm a big Queen fan.
Yeah,
like I think they're great.
Yeah,
there
they are good.
And a bit of ABBA. Great. What about ABBA?
I think that ABBA, some of their... my mum used to like ABBA quite a lot,
yes.
And you can see a lot of music come from ABBA.
Yeah.
Like,
right,
like
yeah.
Summer Night City,
yeah.
On my mum used to play it now, and you think, this sounds like a dance track in the sort of 20 years later, they've nicked the sort of bass line off it.
Exactly.
Yeah. They are better than you think. ABBA, you always think, oh, that's cheesy. And then when it comes up, we go, they actually are a really good band.
I loved ABBA. Very good. As a kid, I loved them. Bee Gees, I love a bit of Bee Gees.
Oh, yeah?
I love all things 70s.
ABBA songs, Take a Chance on Me, he wrote that because he saw a jogger. Hear that? He saw a jogger,
yeah,
and he thought the jogger was jogging in that rhythm of the take a chance, that bit.
Wow!
And that's how he wrote the song, was watching a jogger jog.
Wow!
Which one, the moustache one or the sort of creepy looking one?
The Bjorn.
Which one's Ben?
Benny's the one with the beard, I think.
Bjorn was the blondie one. Was the blonde
yes.
guy?
Yeah, yeah. Bit. Clean shaven. Yeah. Most of the time.
Okay, yeah. He's a sort of scary one. Yeah. The one looks like the lion, looks friendly, and he always gave me the creeps. The other one,
friendly lion.
The friendly lion's nice, and the other one, I didn't. Something about him.
You weren't feeling the.
And which one went with? They swapped partners.
Oh god!
I couldn't work out what happened with them.
Yes.
It was a big sweet orgy going on. I don't know what was going on. I have no idea.
There's loads of... I don't know if they swapped. I think Fleetwood Mac are the ones who swapped around a lot.
Yes.
Like, I think ABBA was just like, they were together and then...
Then they weren't.
Not together anymore.
And now they don't make music anymore. That's basically what happened. They all got divorced.
The hard thing is doing vocal harmonies when you've all been divorced, I think.
Exactly.
Imagine if we had all been divorced now.
And then it'll be awkward.
Wouldn't it be as fun?
Well, we were married to each other. We're married to each other.
All three of us.
Yeah, imagine if, like...
So you married Gina.
Yeah.
You got divorced.
Yeah.
I got together with you.
We got divorced.
And we're all in a band.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all in a band.
Confusing.
We're all in a band. I mean...
That's what we call the band, confusing.
Confusing relationships.
Or call it confusing. So you pronounce the sing on it. So, you know, that musical.
Because we're singing.
Yeah.
Ah, that's spade.
That's a sort of anagram thing.
Come up with loads of good names for things today, Gina. You've missed all the
confusing.
Things.
Confusing.
But
like
Gina's Maui's been naming so many things. Gina, if someone was to say to you that they've created a business where they do brass rubbings, and the brass rubbings are funny, and it's round the woods.
Brass rubbings?
Yeah, do you have brass rubbings?
No, what is that?
You know,
surely you did brass rubbings in school.
You just get a plain bit of white paper, and you rub against something patterned, and a picture comes out. Basically,
so you rub like a crayon against the paper,
yeah,
and then you get the pattern comes through.
That's actually a thing. People actually do. That's a thing, right?
Yeah.
And then what? And
now I've explained it to someone who doesn't know what it is. It does sound stupid.
So you do brass rubbings in the woods.
No, hang on a minute. This isn't the way it started.
I'm confused.
He was trying to say to me, can you think of a new form of communication? I mean, this is pretty difficult on a Sunday morning to come up with a new form of... And I said, I came up with brass rubbings instantly.
Yep.
And then it's led into this other thing where he's now introducing it. It's like my main hobby.
It's the main thing. Gina, if you look at Marek, that doesn't surprise you, does it? Surely.
Well... I'm going to stay silent on this one.
There
he looks like he's about to stab me in the throat.
You've been doing radio as well this morning already?
Yes, I was on BBC London this morning. So, I've literally come out of bed after 2 hours and been running around London. But it's all good.
It's all fine,
I'm awake.
Isn't it?
I'm awake.
You must be doing a lot of radio because you're promoting your new tour at the minute.
I'm doing another tour. I'm back in the UK and I'm... travelling around talking shit for... Am I allowed to say shit?
Yeah, say whatever you like.
Yeah, talking shit for money again. So,
great.
I'm back.
And your tour goes all around the world as well. It's amazing. There's
Oxford, Wolverhampton. Oh, yeah.
Wolverhampton. Also, Canada. I believe that's
oh, yeah. Well, that's not really part of my tour. My tour is the UK bit. The rest of it is just me doing gigs for other people.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very, very... I was there. Been bigging up the world tour there. But
we could call it a world tour because I am getting on planes.
You are
I'm telling jokes. So I am. Yeah, it's
Austria.
A world tour.
Austria. We're everywhere.
That's not till next year.
Yeah. Well, we got Barnsley on March the 20th.
Yep, Oxford, Wolverhampton, Luton, Barking, big one, Brixton Empire. Brixton Academy. I keep calling it Empire for some reason. O2 Academy in April. That's the big one.
Oh, nice.
That'd be fun.
That is a very good venue.
If people turn up, that'd be fun.
I went to see Limp Bizkit there, so that doesn't make me sound cool, does it?
I like Limp Bizkit. They're all right. I quite like them.
It was a fun gig, actually. It was a fun party gig.
I quite like them.
Can I have your phone, please, Jimmy? We're going to play your...
Okay, your plug it in.
...from here. Do I need a code for this?
No, I don't think so. I left it uncoded.
I'd like to be like a Devin Brown or David Blaine who can just guess
just
people's
codes.
Just
double tap the screen.
Double tap the screen. And then the thing it comes up with immediately is the last thing you were on, which is YouTube. Oh no, it's not YouTube. No, this is actual.
What is that?
No, that is your music. That is your music.
Yes,
there.
I think it is.
Oh, okay. It looks like YouTube.
Well, because it's Google Music, so you can play music and watch videos as well at the same time.
Okay,
That is good. Yeah. We have to have Google cool, now. Yeah,
bit of Google.
All like that. Right, let's see the first track from Gina's iPod. Let's see what it is. Will I Am, Scream and Shout from Gina Yesheray's iPod. You said that was embarrassing. I don't think Will I Am's embarrassing.
Actually, no, it wasn't bad. It's because it was Britney Spears. The first time I heard the song, I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then I heard it was Britney Spears, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Ah, well, fuck it. It's good. I'm dancing. Whatever.
She's done good stuff. I think Toxic's an amazing song. I think that's...
That was another guilty pleasure, I must admit. It was. I quite like Toxic too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very good, very good. I mean, we were talking a minute ago, you live in America now?
I live in New York, yeah. I went to LA first. I was in LA for 7 years because I was like, I'm a sun worshipper. So I was like, I'm going to go live in somewhere, do comedy and sunbathe. Perfect. I'm going to go to LA. And I went there and I loved it for the first few years. But then the comedy brought me down there because it was bullshit. It was a lot of actors pretending to be comedians.
Yes.
And doing these awful 7-minute monologues. Obviously, they're auditioning for their own sitcoms.
Right.
And they didn't give a shit about the comedy at all. And after a while, I was like, I can't take this. And then my agents kept sending me for the most ridiculous auditions. I got sent for auditions. This was an actual audition I got sent for. The character name was Ghetto Hoochie Number 3. This was the shit I was getting sent for. And I was like, I can't do this. I refuse.
What did Ghetto Hoochie Number 3 have to do?
She had one line and it was, nigga, it's natural. Your baby, and that was the line, and I was like, I'm not saying it, I refuse, this is bullshit, I'm not doing this.
Marek got that role though, didn't he?
I went for number 2.
Yeah,
it's a really good role actually. 8 or 9 scenes, proper monologue speeches, all sorts.
Well, congratulations, by the way, I never congratulated you for
thank
it.
Thank you, thank
well
you.
Done, mate.
I think you're awesome, you looked amazing in that bra.
Yeah,
great.
Will I Am does the voiceover here. They've got the voice in America. It's like
but he's massive. Not on the American one. On the American one at the moment, it was CeeLo.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's still on it because I haven't watched the last couple of seasons. And that bloke who sings really high from that band, that's
Maroon 5.
What's his name? Adam Levine. Adam Levine's in it, and I don't know who the others are.
She was on it,
but I don't know if she came off one season. She might be back. I haven't watched it for a while.
Did you like the voice when it was?
I did, but nobody who's actually won the voice has done anything.
No.
Like, it's like you win this huge show, it takes up a big chunk of your life, and then you just disappear.
Yeah.
It's a bit rubbish.
It's a bit sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pathetic.
I love the turning around in the chairs bit.
And now it's rubbish after that, isn't it?
After that, I don't bother.
Yeah. But the turning around the chairs thing is a little bit fake because they picked all these singers out beforehand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's not that random. They're all most of them are amazing.
Yes, yeah.
I used to watch American Idol for the crappy people because that used to make me laugh. So, I mean, I suppose that takes away the stupid, humiliate members of the public part of it, and these are actual proper singers. So it's good in that way, but then they win the show and then nothing happens.
You
can't just be a good singer. I mean, why aren't they just to get songwriters with their own
I think that's always about they've never written a good song. I got some cashews.
I've got cashews and almonds and goji berries
because they're not salted or anything, though.
They're natural.
I'm all right, thanks. But it's very nice. What's the brand there? Loving Earth?
Well, that's the goji berry brand. I bought those in Singapore.
Oh, they do goji berries?
Yeah, and then I just threw in some cashews.
Cashews in there?
Yeah, for some cashews.
You've got yourself a mixed bag.
But you need some goji berries, man.
What do goji berries do?
Oh, they have high in antioxidants and they make you poo better. I don't know. They're good for you. Apparently.
I'm all for that.
Better than blueberries?
These are... They're a superfood. Right. Blueberries are superfood.
I think blueberries might be.
Broccoli. Yeah. That's one a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, so did you get a goji berry?
Oh, no, I just went for cashew nuts.
Have
I
a goji berry, mate.
Oh, I might have to dig.
I want to have you having your first goji berry on radio. Well,
that'd be nice.
We can see how you react to it.
They're dried out goji berries.
They're kind of dried, yeah.
Can you describe how it looks first, Marek, and how it feels in your hands?
How does it look and feel about, Marek?
It looks like a red raisin.
Yeah.
Yep.
A red, yeah. Yes. Or it looks like, you know, sometimes when you go in graveyards.
Yes.
And they've got the sort of, people used to have the green sort of things
when
there.
When we go in graveyards, yeah, I do that all the time.
They would have the red versions of, you know, they put the glass sort of things in the 80s. The red versions of those.
I have no idea what
you're talking about. Put them in his mouth there.
And?
Just a little chew.
Slow flavour coming through. It's not intrusive. Very much like raisins. But a bit of a dark, without the sweetness.
Not as sweet, though.
Yeah,
not
as sweet.
Not as sweet as raisins, so like a bit of a more bitter.
Raisins,
subtle raisin.
Like an older taste. It's like, you know, when you start to like red wine in your late 20s and 30s, is that sort of taste where you have
like
raisins
olives,
early?
Not
yeah,
olives.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, like kids probably wouldn't like. My 2 year old nephew likes olives.
That's bullshit.
Weird, isn't it?
He's a serial killer.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that.
No one likes olives.
He's good to grow up.
It's crazy. He loves them. He eats loads of olives if they're on the table, just knocking them back. I used to I couldn't take them until I was 16.
Yeah, I didn't start eating them until.
That's pretty middle class if your brother or sister have got olives left out.
Pretty
table
bad. Well, I've seen it family dudes. So you know, everyone's waiting for dinner. Dinner's taking a long time. Mum puts some olives on the table.
What type of olives?
Green and black.
Green and black olives
in a thing together.
And the 2 year old gets in there face first.
Straight in there. two hands knocking the olives back.
Wow.
Maybe she's or he's just neglected and not fed properly.
No, he's fed properly.
Fat.
And he's not fat, but like he gets looked at. I mean, it's making it very clear. My sister is not an abusive parent. Yeah, no, he's fine. He loves food. He loves cake. You get some cake out.
Cake and olives.
Cake and olives, mate.
Hmm. That's a weird mix.
Sounds a bit greedy, this kid, if you ask me.
Gina, favourite food?
Oh, my God.
In the world. Okay. Last meal.
Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Chocolate fudge brownie with the banoffee flavour. And cookie dough.
Hold on. Is there banoffee?
Well, there's a banana
on its
one
own
with chocolate. No, it's not really banoffee. It's got stuff in it.
I got excited, though. See, I got excited because I thought it was a Ben and Jerry's I didn't know existed and I was going to have to go
really,
and eat
it's
it.
It's not really banoffee.
I love Ben and Jerry's so much
that
once I ate a whole tub of Ben and Jerry's while scrolling through the Ben and Jerry's website, looking at the flavours they've got in America that we don't have over here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can understand. I actually pick my cinemas.
Yeah.
According to the ice cream they serve. I will only go to cinemas that do the Ben and Jerry's in the concessions. If it's Baskin Robbins, Haagen-Dazs, it's not happening.
Forget it.
Die Haagen-Dazs.
Forget it.
It's all about Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, wow. I haven't even tried Baskin Robbins. That's how much I've written them off.
It's rubbish. It's just the colours are weird. It's just odd.
Donuts? You like donuts?
No, I'm not a fan of donuts.
No?
The jam donut, yes. Yeah. But that in America, they're crazy about Dunkin' Donuts and things. I'm not into it. I'm not into it.
Dunkin' Donuts I'm not into.
No.
Krispy Kremes, though, I do like, and they're probably worse for you.
I'm not into those either.
I agree with you. It's bullshit. Yeah. Someone brought a load of these round. You think, I just want the old-fashioned
jam. Yeah, they don't look human.
One.
They don't look human.
Yeah.
They don't look like human food. They look plasticky and,
They got an awful lot on them now. Yeah. That's and in them. They're filled and covered.
They look like death.
Like death.
Yeah.
Marek, we always go into your iPod with a depressing tone.
Uh-oh.
It looks like death. I thought, time to play a track from Marek's iPod.
Yeah,
it's sounding things to me.
Something embarrassing a bit.
Let's see. You had Razor Light last. Let's see what it throws up this time. Here we go. You too, where the streets have no name, Marek Larwood's wonderful iPod.
It's been pretty mainstream today, hasn't
it? Yeah, quite good.
Any of my movie soundtracks, I'm a big fan of film soundtracks.
Yeah, well, what were you hoping was going to come up from a film? But you were telling me that's quite a cinematic moment in your life when you
I went to a kibbutz because I couldn't afford to go anywhere else when I was 18, and then, it's Pat Benatar next.
Yay! I love Pat Benatar!
And it was just as we were going into driving into the desert on this coach, all the people were staying there, and this song came on. You know those moments where your iPod is just perfectly in sync yes. with your life.
Yeah.
And that track came on with, you know, the riff at the start, and it just and it as almost it was so cinematic.
Yes.
It was great. Every time I hear that, I just think of just turning this corner, the beats, the music starting, and then the desert sort of unfolding in the sort of panorama in the distance. It was great.
Nice.
So yeah, happy memories.
Happy memories.
Happy memories.
Gina, are you excited about going on tour soon?
Do you
enjoy being on the road? I get a bit tired sometimes when I'm doing it.
It does get tiring, but coming back to the UK and doing shows here, it's like taking off my bra after a long day. It's like, obviously you have no idea what I'm talking about, but it's like, because then I can just talk at my own cadence, my own speed. I don't have to slow down and enunciate for an American audience who don't understand a very broad and fast Cockney accent. So it's great, and I enjoy doing that. So I like to knock them out quickly. I've squeezed it into 2 months, and that's how I do it. Just knock them out, crazy fast couple of months, and then go and chill.
Lovely.
Yep.
That's great. And the show's called Laugh Riot, right?
Laugh Riot. It's just me talking about what's happened to me in the last year and a half, because I've done some crazy shows. I went to this place in Singapore called Four Floors of Whores. That was fun. Four Floors of Whores. And it really was four floors of a different flavour. There was a Russian floor whore.
Right.
Asian floors of floor of whores. There was an African floor. And there was ladyboys on the top floor.
Of course, on the top.
Wow.
In Singapore. So I did that. So I'll be talking about that on my show. I did a gay boy cruise. I did a week performing for 2,500 gay men. And believe me, I saw some shit on that boat that cannot be unseen. So it's all in the show. And that's what Laugh Riot is about. It's just me just talking. Yeah, you know, it's like a night with your funniest mate, but funnier.
Fantastic. Yeah. Have you got a website with your tour dates on?
GinaYashere.com. GinaYashere. So you can go on there and the list of shows are on there. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at GinaYashere. I keep it simple. If you just put GinaYashere in there, and you'll just find all of my stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Gina. We haven't got much time left, so we're going to go and do another track for your iPod.
What's coming?
Let's see what is next. Here we go. Rihanna.
Okay, that's not bad. Hey, see? It's pretty cool. Cruises and lots.
Wow.
That's Rihanna from Gina Yesheray's iPod. Thank you very much, Gina and Marek for coming on today. Been a pleasure.
Thank you.
It's good fun.
Goji berries and...
Goji berries and... See, I've got you eating healthy.
Floors full of whores.
Floors of whores.
Which no one's complaining about that.
I don't think we were getting any complaints.
Yeah.
Your face lit up, Marek. It lit up.
Absolutely. The stories.
You had to go to Gina's show to hear that story.
You've got to come to the show, people. Book your tickets, GinaYashere.com.
Yeah. So that's the end of the show. Thanks very much
to
both my guests. And we'll be back next week with more Shuffle. One more track from my iPod. And goodbye. Here we go. What a great show. Insightful and rich. That is it for that show. Now, I'm still away, but I'm going to be back in May, officially. I'm over in Melbourne for quite a while. There's a festival there, and it drags on. So I'm not going to be back until May. In the meantime, the show's going to be on every single week with a guest host every week, which is very exciting. Lucy Porter's going to be hosting one, and previous guests, Angela Barnes and Rob Deering, will be taking up the role of host as well while I'm away. And then I'll be back in May, and I'll pick it up from there. But you're in very good hands. If anything, too good hands. I'm a bit worried that you'll love them more than... It's like when Buzzcocks had guest hosts and people wanted Adam Buxton to do it forever. So, yeah. Enjoy them, and don't forget me. Every now and again, YouTube me or something just to remind yourself that we're still mates. All right. All right, guys. See you later.